This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Syria, darkness visible in civil war since the first decade of the 21st century. Now the civil war is said to be concluded. However, I welcome Josh Rogan, writes global opinions for The Washington Post. Josh, a very good evening to you. Your recent column about Syria raises many questions, and like good questions, they don't have easy answers. So I'm going to go to the background of your column. What is the Caesar Act, and what does it mean about the U.S.'s intention towards Syria? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. The Caesar Act is a law passed by Congress and signed by President Trump that authorizes sanctions on any country or entity that aids the Assad regime and its partners until or unless that regime stops mass torture and mass murder of its own citizens. And that law was put in place with an overwhelming majority in both parties in 2019 and 2020 for a simple reason, is that the Arab Gulf states were moving towards reestablishing diplomatic relations with Assad. And this was seen as a last-ditch effort by the United States to stop that from happening. And, you know, whatever you want to say about the Trump administration, Syria policy, they did not allow other countries to warm up to Assad without at least putting a marker out there, without opposing it in some way. And when President Biden was campaigning, he promised, and Secretary of State, now Secretary of State Tony Blinken, they promised to enforce this law. They promised to use it to make sure that, you know, that Assad doesn't return into the good graces of the international community without, while he's still mass murdering and slaughtering his own people. And unfortunately, as soon as they got elected, they turned around and ignored it. And here we are 2 years later, and the thing has only been used once against drug traffickers, and that was last week. And it's no surprise then that all the other countries in the region have looked at that and decided that it's nothing to be concerned about, that it's not, that the United States is nothing to be worried about when it comes to their efforts to warm up to Assad. And we saw the results of that neglect this week when the rulers of the Saudi government and the government of the United Arab Emirates openly made big steps to warm up to Assad. And he was welcomed to Abu Dhabi with a 21-gun salute. Now, that's a direct violation of the Caesar law, but one that the Biden administration refuses to punish because they've sent clear signals, both in public and private, that they just don't care about that anymore, that they're not going to try to stop Assad from becoming a normal member, quote unquote, normal member of the international community. And they've thrown up their hands when it comes to stopping his atrocities. That's a tragedy for U.S. policy, but mostly for the Syrian people.
I see in your reporting that both parties and significant voices in both parties consider the Caesar Act important and are disappointed in the way that the Biden administration is administering the Caesar Act. This is the House Foreign Affairs Committee and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. But the quote in your story that is the most long telling is from Muaz Mustafa, executive director of the Syrian Emergency Task Force, which is pro-opposition Syrian American aid. He says the Biden administration is failing the Syrian people. Now, here's the warning. The danger of the Biden administration's complacency and latent support for normalization with Assad is that it will invite other dictators to pursue the same policies. I immediately thought of Maduro in Venezuela. We don't have to go very far, but we can imagine a world where dictators enjoy the attention of the United States after many years of being sanctioned. Does the administration have a response to either the Senate or the House or the voice of Mr. Mustafa about these worries?
Right. Well, basically, the White House and the State Department have denied that they're allowing this normalization, which flies in the face of the obvious facts and some of their other statements. They say there's been no change in policy, but the Syrians on the ground aren't buying it for the very simple reason is that they see the change in their everyday lives. Now, what Muaz Mustafa is saying there is he's addressing the fact that, you know, in Washington and around the United States, many people may think to themselves, well, why are we sanctioning countries that do business with Syria? That's none of our business, and that's terrible, but that's over there and not over here. And what he's saying is that, no, there's something bigger at stake here, which is that when you promise to punish people who are committing mass atrocities and then you fail to do so, it leads to more people committing more mass atrocities. And I think it's the easiest way to prove that is to look at what the Russians were doing in Syria since 2015, namely perpetrating war crimes on a massive and constant scale. And then look at what they've done in Ukraine. And you can see the direct line. There was no punishment for the war crimes in Syria. And now they're happening in Ukraine. And now all of a sudden, people in Europe are shocked about it. And so, you know, there's a good faith argument out there that, you know, Assad has won. He's not going anywhere. And sanctioning him only hurts the Syrian people. But what I'm saying is that the Biden administration is trying to have its cake and eat it too by saying that we have a tough policy against Assad, but then not actually implementing their own tough policy. And that's the worst of all worlds. Either you're going to raise the pressure or you're going to lower the pressure, but one should do so intentionally and not say you're doing one and then do the other, because it leads to diplomatic negligence and malpractice. And that's what we're seeing in Syria.
The Syrian story is complicated by a document you brought to my attention saying that 91% of the multi-billion-dollar aid effort coordinated in Damascus in 2022, money to flow to refugees, money to flow to earthquake victims now with the new earthquakes and poverty and food security, 91% of that was funded by sovereignties sanctioning Syria's regime. So the U.S. is not alone in this. Has everybody moved on? Is that the sense that the EU has moved on as well, Josh?
Right. Well, what you're identifying there is a huge glaring hypocrisy in our Syria policy, which is that, you know, we're trying to support the people who are liberated, who are living outside of Assad's rule. That's about a third of the country in the northwest and northeast primarily. And at the same time, we are the biggest donors of a huge international aid program that funds the regime, because the way that the aid system works, especially the UN system, is that it goes through Damascus and then the regime breaks all of its promises and keeps all of the aid and uses it to survive and to feed the military rather than the people. And that's a crazy situation that's persisted for a long time. But what's new is that when there was an earthquake, a lot of people in the region used that as an excuse to go ahead and give more money and aid to the regime rather than the people who were actually affected by the earthquake, who are mostly outside of the regime's grasp. So every time we see the situation in Syria get worse, that there are familiar cries to just let it all go and just accept the fact that Assad's going to do what Assad's going to do. And we should just give him all the money and help that he wants. But then there's the cries of the Syrian people who are still resisting. For some reason, after 12 years, they still don't want this butcher as their president, which just goes to show you that this is not a Western imposed regime change intervention. It's a organic, a domestic driven a fight for freedom and dignity, which the Syrian people are losing in part because our help to them is going in the wrong direction.
Is the EU, European Union, is it okay with this drift that's going on with Syria? Because they've got several million people who fled Syria living in variously fragile conditions across all the EU. Have they commented? We have about a minute.
You know, the European capitals follow the United States on the Syria issue. And because the Biden administration has refused to lead, the European capitals have been very content to do absolutely nothing. That's why the diplomacy is now headed in Moscow and involves the Iranians, the Turks, and the Russians and the Assad regime without the U.S. or the EU at the table. That's what we've done. We've handed over this crucial, dangerous, worsening crisis to the perpetrators, to the war criminals, to sort out. And it doesn't seem like it could get worse, but it can and will unless the United States and the European Union wake up and do more to get back in this game.
Josh Rogan writing about Syria, very difficult to see transparency in the Syrian civil war ongoing. But the elements of all of the jihadists are in Syria, the elements of all of the conflict with the Kurds are in Syria, the elements of all the conflict with Iran and Hezbollah are all in Syria, threats to Israel, threats to Turkey, all of it right there with the Assad regime, question mark. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.